Good afternoon and welcome to this afternoon's meeting of the Joint Standards Committee, the special meeting, and welcome to everyone. First item is Chairman's notices, which I know you all know, so I'm going to itemise them as sound recording of the meeting. There's a fire warning in event of a fire. Siren will sound. Please use the fire exits or follow me. Health and safety, please be advised of the different levels of flooring, and we are being recorded on closed circuit television. So item two, apologies for absence.
Madam Chairman, yes, apologies for absence from Councillor Perlman. In accordance with substitution notice, Councillor Bass is present substituting. Apologies for absence also from Councillor Ledger, one of your parish representatives, who's given notice that he is standing down from the committee due to ill health and is pulling away from his council involvements for a period. The chairman is aware, and I have written to the Essex Association of Local Councils with a view to a fresh representative being nominated.
Thank you.
Chairman, is that one come from the Essex Association of Councils or from the Dengie 100 group of parish councils?
Both nominations come from the Essex Association of Local Councils, Chairman.
Okay. So item three is the minutes of the previous meeting found on pages 5 to 8. I've got 5 to 7, so I could say 5, 6, 7, but does anyone wish to raise anything on these minutes? Matters of accuracy, please. Councillor Nunn.
Yes, just to, on page 5, refer to 8041, the issue of the Constitution. I'm pleased to note that that's going to be a separate item on this agenda. And to thank Wendy on page 6, for updating me in relation to the issue at the top of the page, as requested. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So, item four is disclosure of interest to disclose the existence and nature of any disclosable pecuniary interest, other pecuniary interests or non-pecuniary interests relating to items of business on the agenda having regard to paragraph 6 to 8 inclusive of the Code of Conduct for members. And members are reminded they also required to disclose any such interests as soon as they become aware should the need arise during the meeting. Yes. Members, anything? Councillor Nunn.
Yes, please, Chair. Thank you. I have something to disclose in relation to item 8, but as it's on green paper, I'm assuming that you want me to disclose it at that point.
I would indeed appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? No. Thank you. Then, in that case, it's the review. Item 5, the review of the Constitution is affecting the Joint Standards Committee. And a bit of flipping about here. No, I'm on the wrong page. I'm very sorry. But it is, in fact, the Monitoring Officer's report. So I shan't waste your time talking about it. I shall ask her, please, to present it.
Thank you very much, Chair. If I may firstly just mention that my best regards to the councillor who cannot be with us due to health issues, and I think we all wish him well. Moving on to this report. Effectively, this report is relatively simple in its origin. Councillor Nunn kindly brought it up as a matter for consideration. As it currently stands, the Joint Standards Committee, as its constitution, and if I can just draw your reference to paragraph 3.3, sets out within its general remit that in particular the chairman of the committee shall be a Maldon District Councillor appointed at the annual meeting of the council, and point 8, there will be one vice chairman who shall be a Maldon District Councillor and shall be elected by the committee. Councillor Nunn has asked us to look at the constitutional arrangements so far as they affect the setup of the committee. Specifically, as this is a joint standards committee, joint in this instance meaning working between the district, town and parish councils. The provisions tie in with the council's constitutional arrangements for the appointment of committees and make reference to the statutory annual meeting when we do in fact elect the chairman. However, even though the constitution as it is provides that the chairman and vice must be a district councillor, if the committee and then consequently the council as a whole are open to the provision being amended, it could include local council representatives. And that is what the question has been put to the committee today. The obvious alternative course of action would be for the Joint Standards Committee to be excluded from the arrangements undertaken at Statutory Annual Council, which is which would be the process that could possibly work to avoid any complication of the already complicated Statutory Annual Council procedure. What could occur is that the committee could meet and at its first meeting after Statutory Annual Council elect its own chair and vice chair. In theory it would leave the committee without a chairman up to that point, but in practice the existing chairman could remain in post subject to remaining a member of the council and the committee and preside at the first meeting other than obviously in an election year. There is a question over whether it's appropriate to restrict the chairmanship and vice chairmanship of the committee to members of the council. As I mentioned earlier, the name of the committee is in itself joint. There appears to be no obvious reasons why, as full voting members, either of the local representatives couldn't be chair, save that there is one slight procedural hiccup that we'd have to address, which is that if it was the case that the chairman or vice chair was facilitated by a local council representative, they would not be able to then go to council and present to council. What we would have to do in that instance is elect another member of the committee to do so on their behalf. So from a purely procedural point of view, that's pretty much the only complication. Other than that, that is simply put the area for consideration from the committee today. So I don't think I can really add anything more to that, so I shall hand it over to your good selves.
I actually have Councillor Boyce first, Councillor Nunn, if that's okay.
Thank you, Chairman. Generally I agree with the concept of including the two parish representatives being in the mix for chairman and or vice chairman. I've got no problem with that. What I have got a problem with is the sentence, the existing chairman could remain in post. That is without our constitution, and although there is a reference, it is, if this was to be the case, it would then also follow that all chairmen of committees would remain in post, subject to the caveat of them being re-elected. Which in itself might be a useful thing, but I don't know whether I understand that the Local Government Act doesn't allow us to do that. So why would it allow us to do to have I know it's an outside, as it were, committee, not contained with the wouldn't it be a better idea to invite the two parish councillors along to the statutory annual meeting and for them to join in the dummy committee procedures?
Yes, please.
That's absolutely an option. Quite agree. No problem with that at all. Say that the Statutory Annual Council is already a relatively busy and complex process, but you're absolutely right. There'd be nothing wrong with that at all. Both members could be asked to stand and to be included.
Councillor Nunn, and then Councillor Bass.
Thank you, Chair. I've got two concerns about this. One relates to the current constitution and the second relates to the proposal. The first problem relating to the current constitution is that under the Joint Standards Committee composition at points 7 and 8, which Stuart has given us an extract of, I believe that that constitution was breached. And I said so at the last meeting. I do not believe that the chair of this committee was appointed at the annual meeting. Neither do I believe that the vice chair was appointed by this committee.
Ms. Kenner?
Thank you, Councillor Nunn. Unfortunately, I don't understand your reference. Can you perhaps explain a bit further?
Yes, certainly, through the Chair. A separate meeting was held, I understand, with district councillors, not as part of the annual meeting, to elect a chair of this committee. And that's not part of the Constitution.
The provision for the appointment of committees and the election of chairman of committees, and this is a committee of the council, takes place within the confines of the annual statutory annual meeting of the council. In reality, the statutory annual meeting adjourns for meetings, special meetings of those committees, but that is provided for in the overall council's constitution. So this this provision for the constitution of this committee is supplemental and fits in with the overall council's constitution.
Councillor Nunn,
I don't wish to prolong this or sound like a bureaucrat, because that's not the intention, but we are a joint standards committee, and if we can't get our own standards right, then there is something drastically wrong. It makes it very clear in the constitution that the chairman of the committee shall be a Morden district councillor appointed at the annual meeting of the council, and it didn't happen. I want those points noted. And I'm happy to move on to my second point, which is about the proposed constitution, if I'm allowed, Chair.
Yes, indeed you are, but do any of the officers want to make a comment on? No.
Okay, thank you. So my second...
May I just clarify, please, in relation to the suggestion that district councillors met with a view to appointing the chair and vice chair of that committee, are you saying that happened entirely away from and outside of the statutory annual council? That there was a separate meeting that occurred? Because I just wonder whether perhaps that you're referring to discussion in group about who would be nominated, which would be a...
If we can clarify that by looking at the minutes of the annual meeting, I don't think you'll find that the chair of this committee was appointed at that meeting. And equally, the election of the vice chair is by the committee, this committee, not at the annual meeting. But as I said, I'm happy to move on as long as those points are noted. My second issue is about the proposed constitution.
Chairman, can we clarify Councillor Nunn's first points? I don't know whether I'm interfering with Councillor Bassey's wish to speak, but the statutory annual meeting, and I'm not sure about the appointment of the vice chairman, I have to say, but the statutory annual meeting of the council is held and within that meeting all committees of the council have, and I referred to it earlier when I said the dummy meeting, have the council is adjourned but is still chaired by the chairman of the council. It's a technical, a technicality. It is still within the confines of the statutory annual meeting, but each committee is called in front of the chairman, or committee or subcommittee, is called in front of the chairman to elect, and the proposition comes from the chairman of the council for nominations for the chairman of that committee, and that is what I believe happened with the standards committee.
Thank you. Excuse me, Councillor Nunn, for a moment, because if Councillor Shrimpson would like to speak about what we...
Going to say this actually was how it happened, and both the chairman and the vice chairman were elected at that little subcommittee chaired by the chairman of the district council. Was it?
No, I'm afraid. I think I'm there already, Councillor Acevedo, because I remember proposing you.
Yeah. That's quite right.
And you proposed me, as it happened.
The chairman is then appointed and then takes the meeting.
That's right.
That's what I meant. The committee itself, it was done in full council.
Yes.
But the chairman of the meeting, the mini meeting, took the proceedings, and that's where it was.
But just those
decisions. The point I wanted to make is that I really don't think we should change this. I think we're meddling with the constitution of the council. It's been clear how it's to be proceeded. I don't really think there is, I mean, perhaps there is something within our terms of reference of this committee to meddle with the constitution of the council, but I personally think this is a mistake. I think it's perfectly all right as it is, and I think we should leave it alone.
Right, Councillor Acevedo, then back to Councillor Shrimpton, and then I shall go to Councillor Nunn for his second point.
Thank you, Chairman. Although there clearly was a bit of confusion at the beginning about Chair and Vice Chair, but Councillor Nunn is absolutely right that you proposed at the meeting where you were put forward as chair, your vice chair. So clearly a mistake has been made, because it says, is that not right?
No.
It is right.
Yes, it's by the committee.
By the committee. Of this is the committee, so it should have been that the first meeting of the Joint Standards Committee, should it not?
The first meeting of the committee is what I referred to as a dummy meeting held within
a special meeting.
The statutory annual meeting of the council. They were constituted. And the chief executive calls out their names, and they stand in their place and become, for that short period of time, the committee. Now, what I don't necessarily agree with Councillor Bass completely on this, that this doesn't need. I think in the fairness of things, these points that Councillor Nunn have risen about involving the two parish councils is a very relevant one. Whether in practice it would actually happen, but within the constitution it should. And I think the easiest way is my suggestion of inviting them along to that dummy meeting, which I call it a dummy meeting, but in fact is a properly constituted meeting of the committee.
Okay, Councillor Shrimpton?
Well, I would like to suggest that at that meeting, it seems to be a bit over the top to invite the two parish members, and it would be far easier if we went along with the suggestion in here that we elect the chairman and vice chairman at the first meeting of the committee, the joint committee, which is held in here on a separate occasion from the annual meeting.
I think there's no actual proposal yet. I'm going to go on to Councillor Nunn's second point, please, if you will.
Thank you very much, Chair. So everything I've heard doesn't really change my view about the first issue that I raised. I do believe that there was a breach in the constitution, but as I said earlier on, I'm happy to have that noted and to move on. I disagree with Councillor Bass about meddling with the constitution. To the average man and woman on the street, to the electorate, they would think that the term joint means everybody on the committee has equal standing. Can I make it absolutely clear that I have no immediate aspirations to become the chair of this committee? That's not the purpose of me raising this, but I want the district council to realise that parishes and town have equal importance to the district in terms of the local government of the area. And I would very much like to see this constitution changed to say that every member of the committee has equal rights, particularly in relation to being chair and vice chair. Thank you.
Thank you. So we seem to be no nearer an actual proposal. Does anyone have a proposal to make?
I'll make a proposal, but I thought Councillor Nunn was going to make his second point.
That was it.
I would therefore propose that changing the recommendation that's on this paper, which I might add hasn't been formally proposed and seconded, so we're debating something that's not on the table at the present. But that's a constitutional point that Miss Kelly knows what I'm referring to, because she's not able to present resolutions to the council.
This is true.
So the The recommendation is to revise the constitution as explained in 3.6, 3.7 and 3.8, which I think it would be much simpler to say that in the interests of equality and fairness, that the two parish councillors be invited to the first meeting of the Standards Committee, which is in fact held at the statutory annual meeting of the council. Would that define it? And if that's seconded, we'll see how the vote.
Councillor Lennon?
Well, I'm grateful for that suggestion. That's part of the issue. But it's all well and good inviting town and parish councillors to the first meeting, but it's what rights they have to be appointed as chair and vice chair.
We do.
With respect, Madam Chairman, I cannot see that the decision to appoint the chair of this committee is done at full council by full council, and only full council can do that. We cannot have members, not elected members of this authority, effectively voting. Well, the constitution doesn't allow it at the moment. You are wishing to change it. I just think it's wrong that we are considering inviting non-elected members to take part in voting within the annual general meeting of this authority. And what I might suggest could be a compromise is that the chairman is elected of this committee as per the normal, the current regulations, but the vice-chairman could, I'm prepared to consider that the vice-chairman could be appointed at the first ordinary meeting of the committee. I propose that.
Hold on, members, for a moment. Councillor Boyce has in fact made a proposal that has not yet been seconded. Is there someone prepared to second Councillor Boyce's proposal? Then that falls. Is there a counter-proposal? Councillor Nunn.
Thank you, Chair. I would propose that that every member of this committee has equal rights to election as chair and vice chair, and that the appointment of chair and vice chair is held at a meeting of the Joint Standards Committee.
And I'll second that.
Can I ask more specifically which do you mean, that a subsequent one following the statutory annual?
The experts on this are the officers who are present, but if it means the district council changing its constitution to allow the appointment of chair and vice chair by the Joint Standards Committee, then that's my proposal. And I would say to Councillor Bass that elected members, if he's talking about district elected members, then that's one thing. Town and parish councillors are elected members.
Talking about elected members.
Not across the floor, please. Not across the floor, please, gentlemen. Right, well, we have a proposal to you, Mr.
Chairman, can you just clarify? I heard Councillor Nunn said that, as part of his proposition, that this should take place at a meeting of the Joint Standards Committee. I think we need to be specific about which one it is.
That was my question. Thank you.
I'm happy to clarify by saying the first meeting following the full council meeting, full meeting of the district, annual district council meeting.
Okay. Okay, Councillor Acevedo. I know the feeling.
As we have a proposition on the table, I feel that I'm entitled to speak on that amendment. And I raise my concern again about the 3.6 issue, where we will be without a chairman of the Standards Committee between the statutory annual and the first meeting of the council.
And therefore, who is to call it?
The first meeting of the Standards Committee.
Are you looking to make propose an amendment to the proposition to that effect?
No, because it would have the effect of a negative proposition and wouldn't be allowable.
Thank you. Councillor Bass.
Well, there's no proposition on the table.
It was proposed by councillor and seconded by councillor Shrimpton. Open to debate, and then I will put the vote. So if you'd like to speak further in favour of your proposal,
just so it's a further point of clarification, we could say then, couldn't we, on the same day as the annual district meeting?
just to clarify, that was actually Councillor Boyce's proposal and would necessitate the two appropriate parish council members attending our statutory annual, which could be done.
It was, Chair, and I'm very grateful to Councillor Boyce, and I agreed with that element, but Councillor Boyce didn't go on to say that any member of this committee could be elected Chair and Vice Chair.
That goes without saying that I advocate, and I now and before, that all members of this committee have equal rights.
That's
because otherwise we have not got a joint standards committee. And what I was trying to do was to not only show that was what happened on this committee, but actually produce a mechanism that would get a result.
Councillor,
I clearly misunderstood then, and I apologise to Councillor Boyce, because that's exactly what I'm proposing as well.
That's what I thought. Well, can we now take it, and I'm looking at Councillor Boyce here, that sadly his proposition failed due to lack of a seconder on account of a misunderstanding. Councillor Nunn is actually proposing much the same, well, the same thing, duly seconded by Councillor Shrimpton.
Can we have it clear?
Can I ask monitoring officer or deputy to read out what they think we're asking for?
If I may ask...
Mr Jennings.
He's got a good written account.
Councillor Nunn's proposition is the only one on the table at the moment, having been duly seconded, and that states that the constitution should be revised to say that every member of the joint standards committee has equal rights in respect of the election of chairman and vice chairman, and that this is done not at the first full meeting following the statutory annual meeting, but at the statutory annual meeting. That would be the effect of Councillor Nunn's proposal if he wishes to align it with what Councillor Boyce was proposing.
Invitation of the two members to take part in the annual general meeting, is that?
I think, Madam Chairman, by implication it is, but Councillor Boyce actually went further, not in his proposition, but by way of explanation, what would happen.
So, Councillor Nunn, would you accept that amendment to your proposal?
I would, Chair.
Thank you. One thing I would like to clarify, please, this would be not a resolution of this committee, but a recommendation to Council. Yes. So, in other words, we can only ask. Councillor Shrimpton.
I feel that I want to withdraw my seconding because I thought that the meeting was going to be the first ordinary meeting after the annual meeting. And that's what I was in favour of, that at this meeting, a meeting like such as this, we elect a chairman and vice chairman, and until that date, the previous chairman is the chairman until he or she is replaced at the next meeting.
That being
so
the case,
I withdraw.
I have an alternative seconder? So I'm looking at Councillor Acevedo. Sorry,
thank
would
you.
You
that's
like
what I was going to ask.
No, would you like to speak to the proposition?
I'm quite happy now. It's been made a lot clearer now, or it's clearer to me now. So I'm happy to second. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Then.
I was just going to comment, I think, on what Councillor Bass said, or somebody said. The parish councillors and or town councillor would not be inviting to participate in the statutory annual meeting. They would be asked to participate in the first meeting of the standards committee.
within the... I understand. Right. We do have a proposition. It is now duly seconded. Does anyone wish to speak against it? Because so far we've had various versions of support. Then I shall put the question. I'm not going to read the proposition out because...
Just for the minutes, sorry to be persistent, but is this, was Councillor Shrimpton withdrawing his second?
I believe he was.
So Councillor Mrs Acevedo is the new seconder of Councillor Nunn's
seconder.
Thank you.
And Councillor Nunn accepted the amendment that this will occur with the invitation of the Parish Council. Right, those in favour of Councillor Nunn's? Those against? Oh, sorry, can we take that again? Synchronised. Thank you. Three. Those against?
One.
Abstentions? That is carried by 3-2 whatever, and we'll go forward as a recommendation to Council.
Very grateful, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Nunn. Right, moving on. We have any items of business that the Chairman said item 6 of the committee decides are urgent. None have been notified, therefore I deem that there are none. So item 7 is exclusion of the public and press, and I'm going to read this out.
Chairman, can I propose that we do not go into private session? Nothing I have seen on the papers would prevent or cause any harm to any of the participants mentioned, in my view.
I'm going to ask the monitoring officer to speak to that, since she is the qualified legal advisor, and I am not, but my understanding is that we would not discuss anything involving a member of staff identified by name in public. So, Ms Kelly, please.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor Boyce, I do understand your position. However, I would take a differing view. I think that the papers before the committee would allow an officer to be identifiable, and I think that there would be a significant impact on that officer's reputation and indeed on their own personal well-being if it were to be spoken about in the open arena. And I think that is so significant as to offset the public interest in having it in the open arena.
Thank you. In any case, I'm going to read the proposal because we have to resolve it, and should you wish to carry on objecting, then we'll deal with that in a moment. So, to resolve that under section 100A, brackets 4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the public be excluded from the meeting for the following item of business on the grounds that then it involves the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraphs 1 and 2 of part 1 of Schedule 12A to the Act, and that this satisfies the public interest test. I so propose. Those in favour? Councillor Shrimpton? Are you in favour of... Do you wish to speak against excluding the public and press?
No.
You're in favour?
No.
You're abstaining?
Yep.
Fair enough. Thank you. So that is...
Chairman, my observations were purely to expand on the reason for it being in a private and confidential session. I agree wholeheartedly with the decision of your committee.
Thank you. I noted that you've voted in favour, Councillor Boyce, and I'm always grateful for your advice on the Constitution, because there's not a lot gets past you.
Yes, there's one.